and then I was hooked from there on.
Scanlon caught up with director Lorcan Finnegan ahead of the release of his new film, Without Name.
Broader audience.
Can discover it.
Can discover it, yeah. Because it's one of those kind of niche films that will find, find its audience, but they're all over the place.
Isn't that the thing with genre films, is that they're always that, the genre audience is hardcore and they will go and search.
They're trying to find something new and interesting. I think that's why it did so well at the Brooklyn Horror Festival. People are like connoisseurs of genre, so they're trying to find something that's a little bit different, that's not, the straight up jump scares and all the rest.
Yeah. You seem to be well versed in it, because your filmmaking seems to hark to the classic, like Twilight Zone type stuff, or
I love the Twilight Zone and Tales of the Unexpected and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, actually started rewatching the Twilight Zone recently. Great stuff.
The more atmospheric horror than that.
I mean, that just interests me more in general in filmmaking, like creating a world and having an atmosphere wash over the audience, and I guess it being a little bit more dreamlike, where you come away with an understanding of what happened without necessarily being told exactly what happened.
You're going on a journey, and so you're experiencing it as he's experiencing it.
Exactly.
A quite literal trip in this instance.
One way.
But also the whole psychedelic hallucinogenic aspect of that.
I mean, a lot of that is in the, people, shamans and stuff, even in Ireland, used to try and enter a spirit world through the use of psychotropic drugs like that,
magic mushrooms.
Yeah,
the classic.
Exactly. Classic.
It's a very Irish story, the film. It's very pagan-esque, that concept of nature taking back control or wresting control away from what man is trying to impose upon it. It's nice to see that return to that classic sort of Irish mysticism form of storytelling.
Hopefully it's not we still try to make it contemporary, at the same time as harking back to some of the approaches of older 70s kind of movies, but without it being kind of twee Irish,
No, but you have that because, I mean, the whole concept of owning property is very much important to the Irish sensibility. And this guy is English, coming in surveying on behalf of property developers who are the enemy.
He's in trouble.
So instantly, this guy is a foreigner in unholy land,
Totally.
So you got that. I like to see that aspect of it. But, I mean, it came about through Catalyst. So what was the process of building up to getting it made, eventually?
The script, first of all. I mean, Garrett Brunella and I had applied for the first Catalyst, which was 7 years ago, with a sci-fi comedy project, which was too ambitious. We didn't really realize at the time it was too big for
it wasn't Zonehead 2, no.
it was crazy, and probably still be in post now. But so when we heard this was coming back up, I said to Garrett, listen, we should make an application this time. Let's get it. Let's write a story that will work for the money and will satisfy our own creative needs. Because we'd been reading a lot about, we'd been watching a lot of movies and we'd been discussing a lot of things about, we'd been working on a couple of different ideas. And when this came up, it was sort of the perfect opportunity to hone those ideas down into the script. So that came first. I was in Vietnam actually when it was my dad and my brother when I got the first draft, which was really out there. It was time travel, and there was kind of these clocks that there's hundreds of clocks come up the hallway towards this guy, and there was a witch who's jumping up and down on Eric's bed at one stage. But it was kind of, first draft stuff that had all the ideas in there. So then over the course of a couple of months, kind of refined it down into the draft that we made the application with. Then, we shortlisted, we got interviewed, eventually we were told we got it. And we had to have, like, you know, all our HODs kind of more or less in place. Okay. And then I'd actually been, funded for a short film that I'd written called The Hair.
Yeah.
So I was in a bit of a predicament as whether to do the short and then try and do the feature after, or to just give the money back to the film board for the short and just do it. I just make it fast, get into it. So we sort of put everything on hold, you know, in terms of commercials and all that kind of thing, and just went hell for leather into pre-production and casting and scouting for locations and crewing up. And we did all that reasonably quickly. I'd say it was like 2 months maybe, leading time, 2.5 months maybe. Then we shot for 21 days and we did 3 months of post.
Okay. Yeah, because you're the first to market of the Catalyst project.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a quick enough process. It was like 8 months in total.
That's what you like. This is proper, like, ninja filmmaking. Style.
I mean, it's good to keep the energy up as well, you know, because Catalyst, because it's a low-budget scheme and people aren't getting paid a lot of money, so got to keep the momentum up. A lot of the time with films, dates keep getting pushed as to when you can start, and then you end up losing crew or you might lose cast because of it. We just decided we had a date, we're going to stick to it. So I think it was the 18th of March we started.
Day after Paddy's, everyone's hungover.
let's
go for it. Yeah.
So it was actually, it was a tricky one as well, because I knew that I wanted the trees to be bare. But we also needed, there's quite a lot of night to shoot and a lot of day. So we're trying to figure out the best time before the leaves start coming out of the trees, but also that there's enough daylight. So we kind of hit the sweet spot there.
You quite literally went for the equinox there, you know?
Yeah. If we went any longer, I'd say if we gave it another month. And then there was bank holidays coming up, and because we're shooting in Glendalough, it was a quiet time for Glendalough. They weren't going to have a lot of tourists there during that kind of period.
Okay,
so,
That's great that you were able to assemble, isn't it? You basically had a team in place, or you were able to get a team in place so quickly. And so one of the things that's always a great fear for low budget filmmaking is that the story may be strong and that you may get great performances out of it, but technically it falls down in some way or shape or form. But this is, you've got Pierce, who's like genius.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then your sound is incredible. I mean,
which
is almost always a weakness in the lower budget scale, is that sound not enough money is left for the post production. So it's
true. I mean, part of the Catalyst scheme was, you know, getting advice on all that kind of thing from HODs. And Tony was actually talking at the thing, Tony Cranston, who cut the film. And he was advising, you know, to give plenty of time for the edit and stuff. So then it was like, hey, Tony, do you want to cut the movie? So that's why we ended up cutting for 3 months, which was actually perfect. I think because I made Foxes and worked with Gav and Neil on the score for that, and then they did the sound design and score. And it did well, you know, and a lot of people saw it and liked it and stuff. It made it a lot easier to get crew, you know, for your first film. And also because I do ads as well, you can kind of pay people back to a certain extent on higher paying jobs.
So you were able to assemble people with whom you were familiar, because, I mean, you were coming to it with your producer and writing partner and all
people
who you have. So you had...
Yeah, a bit of a team in place.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah.
And some new people as well, which is cool.
Yeah, it's always good. Well, it's always good to get someone else's eye or perspective. You, coming from the sort of... You're quite prolific as a photographer, so you have input then into the visual design, or what way did you work with Piers on the...
Yeah, well, I mean, we worked pretty well together. Neither of us were, I hope, too egotistical, or, you know, we talk about it. I drew every frame as well, in terms of just figuring out visual language, what I wanted the audience to feel from the composition.
Yeah.
You know, if there's reflections of branches over Eric's face and not over Neve's or Olivia, as she called in the film. things like that. So there was always kind of a need for certain things, and then I'd run around with the camera, my phone, just try and grab some stuff while try and find a position while the guys were getting the camera up from the last camera position. And then Pierce come over and have a look, and we talk about it, and then we'd shoot.
Because it's
very, that's what he trusted me, and I trusted him.
Well, that's brilliant. That's what you want. You want that sort of dynamic partnership.
And also, we needed to move fast, so we were able to, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know,
because it's very deliberately framed. It's very there's I mean, Eric is center of an awful lot of particular frames. He's
I'm probably a bit anal about that kind of stuff.
He's filmed in the middle distance, in the middle of the frame, quite often, and it's like it's a distancing effect for the audience to an extent, but you're also seeing the things that are unfolding around them rather than going for the POV view of like the over the shoulder look.
And also just trying to use the framing to give the sense of isolation, and so he'd always be sitting on his own. Even when they're in, like when driving shots and stuff like that, they were always kind of divided, so there was a deliberate use of visual language to kind of isolate Eric and push him back from everybody, and give the audience a feeling that he's sort of being taken over by something else, or being seduced by
essentially he's having a Blair Witch experience. This is a horrible thing, because he arrives at the cottage, and he's got this guest book that's waiting for him, and it's like, this place is unholy. If I arrived at a guest house and I saw the guest book said this place is unholy, this is not where you want to be.
The book was sort of based on a lot of Garrett actually wrote all
the entries,
all the stuff in the book, but it's by Devoy, the guy who whose cottage it was, but he was sort of based on Terence McKenna, so there's a lot of who's like a psychotropic philanthropist or something like that. He's experimented with hallucinogens in the Amazon, and believed that he was communicating with the spirit world, and or even that time travel was possible through the use of like ayahuasca and DMT. So a lot of his philosophical ramblings were sort of inspiration for Devoy and what ended up in the book and what Eric ends up reading. And a lot of people in real life actually become very into that. You know, they watch all this stuff on YouTube and start really falling for it all.
Oh, yeah, that study of the occult that people have that thing. I mean, it's curious that you're coming out at a very similar time to Liam Gavin's The Dark Song, in a different way. That's about bringing the demonic presence into your dwelling. This is about trying to keep the demonic presence out.
Prevent yourself being sucked into that world. I thought that was great. We both screened at Sitges at the same time.
Yeah.
So I got to see it there.
Well, that's how that horror film circuit must be quite an experience, because it's all kind of the same
batch of films. I mean, Without Name, because it's not necessarily horror. It's I don't know, it kind of got labeled horror after we made it.
Psychological
thriller, mystery, supernatural thriller.
Labels are difficult.
It's difficult. So it did get into some other festivals that were kind of, because it does have strong drama elements to it. But the horror kind of the genre audience and festival circuit really loved it. They really lapped it up. So it's doing well in that whole world. It was in Dead by Dawn there last Friday in Edinburgh. I was over there for Q&A, and then a couple of days later it was in Imagine in Amsterdam. which is also cool.
But you're very aware then that your film is going to be seen on smaller screens.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we designed it for the cinema, because I just feel like you almost have to, especially with the kind of film it was always going to be. Beauty and the seduction of nature, or the
ephemeral sort of
this ethereal feeling of which, you know, people believe that seeing or light ripple or bounce along a lake or dappled leaves in the summer was actual evidence that there were fairies. You know, that was sort of that was the fairies,
the will of the wisp type,
exactly,
concept. Yeah, okay.
So we always knew it was going to be quite beautiful but creepy.
Also creepy.
And you get that much more in the cinema, obviously, because you can really use the sound. But at the same time, yeah, it will end up on people watching it on laptops and on TVs and all the rest. That's fine.
You're comfortable with that. You're not like one of these purists who say that the only experience.
Yeah, only experience is cinema. Obviously, if people can see it in the cinema, they're going to have a more immersive experience, because of the type of film it is. It is kind of an experience in itself. So you come out feeling a little bit anxious, or
I didn't sleep right for a couple of days.
good. And I don't know if you get that from. Only a TV, maybe you would. It depends on the setting and the people you're with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you have 5.1 and a big enough screen,
it's all the same. But no, I don't mind. I mean, I'd make, and we might even on another project in the future do something for Netflix that goes straight to Netflix, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the way that filmmaking is going, and that's. You have to kind of roll with that, you know.
Yeah, it's.
But you reach the audience. Like, not everyone can get to the cinema as well, you know.
Well, that's especially in the country. You know, rural Ireland is more difficult than it is. Dublin is kind of a separate entity in that aspect. Dublin is super saturated with cinemas, whereas
the
country is
at film festivals.
Well, that's it. Or you do have to seek it out on the VOD.